It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here. And I got guests in the studio this morning, as we promised 2 weeks ago, regarding the Hulathon 2015, regarding breast cancer awareness and raising monies for a book of management, Magnificent Women of Hawaii.
Aloha, good morning.
And Mrs. Kanoi Kazumero.
Aloha.
And Mrs. Kilohana, or Sandra Kilohana Silve.
Aloha.
Yes, ma'am.
Bonjour.
Yes. And she actually, you're from here.
I am from here, from Manoa Valley. Mm-hmm. Grew up here, mm-hmm. but went to live in Paris, France, where I founded my halau.
Which is Halau Hula o Manoa.
Yes.
So how's things going over there?
It is great. Hula is attracting a lot of attention as a beautiful art form, but also as a wonderful tool for health and fitness. Mm-hmm. And that is our subject today.
Yes, definitely. Health and fitness, hula, is good for the mind, body, and soul. And so, therefore, it was very easy for me to decide that the one thing I wanted to do as part of the Eva Lenny Foundation for Breast Cancer Awareness was to do what I do and have done all my life, which is to dance hula, to share the aloha, and just the heart of hula, which is global. And that's why I'm really excited to have Kilohana involved and her halau, because she has done so much to promote the health and wellness of hula and healing factors globally, as well as here in the islands.
Mm-hmm. So the in France, your halau there, how many people are involved with your halau that are...
We have a nice ohana, or family. We recently celebrated our 20th anniversary, which is phenomenal when you think about it. And several of the first haumana, or students of hula, are still with us and very actively involved, mm-hmm. and teaching hula themselves. And, of course, hula for health is one of our main concerns. We do a lot of outreach. We have a program where we actually go into a hospital on a regular basis. Every month we have a program where we teach hula to kupuna in wheelchairs, and they absolutely love it. We tell stories, and we perform for them, play music, sing, but we also get them moving, even in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Hula noho, a sitting hula, it's wonderful for people to just be able to stretch and sway and reach up to the sky and imagine they're outdoors and walking up in the mountains or on the beach, even mm-hmm. if they're sitting on a wheelchair. So it raises the spirit.
In France, this monster here in America called breast cancer, is it as prevalent or pronounced as it is there?
It is. It is a major concern for people all over the globe.
But I mean, just in France, and giving the listeners an idea, is it, we see it here impacting many of families, unsuspecting, just anybody, everybody, pretty much.
Yes, it strikes everyone, mm-hmm. Men as well as women. Mm-hmm. And in France, although there is a great emphasis on eating well and food, the French tend to have a very rich diet, and that might create some health concerns at times.
The other thing throughout Europe is that smoking is a choice, mm-hmm. but it is not as, dissuaded upon as it is here, mm-hmm. in the United States and in the islands. It is one of many opportunities for cancer to affect us. And it's not just breast cancer. when we started this project with Eva Lunny back in 2006, it was because she actually was a breast cancer victim going through it at mm-hmm. that time. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to draw attention. And what she did was draw about 200 women of all ethnic backgrounds here in Hawaii. Because most people don't realize that the highest numbers of people and women affected by breast cancer are Hawaiian, Filipinos, and our ethnic races. That's really incredible. Eva Lunny is part Filipino. So, you know, the Filipino community, she represents that very strongly. I, as a Hawaiian, as well as Kilohana, who is Hawaiian in spirit and also emotes the feeling of aloha. This is really something that's important to us. Mm-hmm. And we got together and did these phenomenal pictures of outstanding women here in Hawaii. And so we want to finally put it into a book form that not only has beautiful pictures, but it's a coffee table that's informational. It'll have contacts, who to go to when you need help. Also, there are a lot of community outreach programs that you can go to. There are wonderful places like Waianae Comprehensive Coast and Anti-Eki Kope, as well as several of the Kupuna Ma from that area, are also part of our book.
Mm-hmm. Now, last visit here, the show represented that Pictures Plus was selling the pictures in a benefit. Well, that's not clear. So what, there was a link, a corrupted link to
yes.
our website. So we don't really know. And in that event, I made representations that really does not fit to what we had said. So
correct.
I want to make a clarification.
Yes.
It is not clear as to what percentage or what, I guess you're working on that to clarify that.
Yes, what will happen is that they are going to sell pictures mm-hmm. online. And they did have a problem with the link, but they've reestablished the link mm-hmm. to where when you go on it, you can go directly to Eva Lunny Foundation to see all of our pictures.
Okay.
And by ordering, anything you order online will be about 100% after expenses.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining balance will go directly to the Eva Lunny Foundation. Also, on that day, we will have people from people.
Yeah, me too.
I know, from Pictures Plus, assisting with anyone. And they're going to do a gallery of
okay.
select pictures that they're enlarging and putting on display.
Yeah, I'm really always aware and concerned of misinformation or making representation that are not true, and I don't
correct.
Participate in that. And so we want to make sure if there's some new developments, let me know, because I tout myself as being this guy who wants to tell the truth and inform everybody.
Yes,
we want to make
and
sure.
I apologize that, Hawaii. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't even our fault. It was a technical glitch.
Mm. Yeah. But this hula-thon, you told me there's going to be about 500 people, women, dancers. I mean, that's amazing.
Dancers, yes.
Within that 12-hour period.
Within a 12-hour period, we have a lot of halau, including Kilohana's halau ladies that she's bringing
all the way
down.
From France. Some.
No, unfortunately, the Parisians will not be here for the event, although they will be here in spirit. They're very excited about it. They are promoting the event abroad in Europe. Who knows? Some European hula dancers may turn up, because they are aware of it. It's getting international attention.
I got one question. What time does the champagne from France?
Ooh, ooh la la.
You didn't come empty-handed, I'm sure.
9:15.
Or is drinking permitted at halau?
No, 9:15. After it's all over, that's when we're going to pop some champagne and just enjoy.
This hula-thon is going to be held where and when?
May 1st, which is May Day in Hawaii, where everyone wears a lei, strings a lei, gives a lei. And so, therefore, what better way to celebrate May Day than with hula song as well as music?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be May 1st at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater, which is on the far end, just downstairs of Old Spaghetti Factory. Mm-hmm. And Namea Hawaii is in that corner, as well as Petco, the mm-hmm. pet shop mm-hmm. right there. And we're going to be there setting up from 7:30 in the morning. If anybody wants to show up with a breakfast bento for me, that would be fine.
Your music, you're going to have live music too, as well as
I have put out to the musicians, if you can, just please come down. Some of the halau are bringing their own musicians, but we are going to have a full-on sound system available for musicians, as well as we're going to have a sound system set up where we can plug in an iPad, an iPhone, as well as cassette tapes or whatever people would like to use, a CD. It's all going to be set up. Mm-hmm. So whatever they're comfortable with, mm-hmm. we can do that.
And it's going to be such fun.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
So the breast cancer, this is what this is all built around, and the support and trying to help people. Well, both, as you say, men and women. But families, when someone gets breast cancer, that one person is not just solely impacted.
Oh, no.
How many people, give an idea for some of us that don't know the real impact, how it finds its way through the family and
first of all, it's very disruptive, and it's a disease that permeates throughout. I can say, for example, in my own family, we've had family members, so my own siblings. So there are 12 of us. So it impacted every single one of us when one of the 12 was hit with cancer. Mm-hmm. They have children. They have a spouse. Their spouse has family. It impacts everybody all the way around. So say one of my oldest brothers, okay, he's one of 12. He was married. His wife had a previous marriage, so 6 children there. They adopted children. They have children. Their children have children. So just within that nucleus alone, mm-hmm. it's amazing. It's a ripple effect. What do they say? When you drop that pebble in the pod, mm-hmm. it has a rippling effect. That is so true. And it's breast cancer. It's any kind of a cancer or disease that truly is non-discriminant mm-hmm. In every way.
Now, I shared a brief bit about my sister personally, and I thought, let me follow up on this and get more detail. And then my sister, who is not impacted by breast cancer, I should say, yet, she told me that my sister felt a small lump on her breast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she approached my mother and said, "Look, Mom, I have this breast. Can you look at this?" And my mother, either out of fear or not knowing, told, "Oh, don't worry about it, and we'll just watch it. Don't worry about it." And, you know, and within maybe a year and 1 month, it had grown substantially large, or may have been larger when they first mm-hmm. discovered the lump. Mm-hmm. But she afterwards passed. But from hearing that, all I have to say is that don't stay at home and self-diagnose. And whatever, go to if you can't afford to go to a regular doctor per se, as a Queens or Straub mm-hmm. or Kaiser, they're community medical. If you're in Y and I, go to the medical center there,
the comprehensive medical. Yes.
Wherever, whatever you do, if you discover some abnormality, mm-hmm. Growth or whatever, go. That's with any cancer, but for this purpose of this conversation, we're talking breast cancer.
Right. Now, there are two things that come up in what your example with your sister. Number one is your mama.
Mm-hmm.
There is a real cultural fear of unknowing.
Mm-hmm.
And a big fear box of not wanting to address that. Because culturally, there's this big taboo about talking about your body, especially from that generation and earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't talk about your body, let alone touch your daughter and say, "Ooh, this doesn't feel right." You know, so there's a cultural issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that denial. Yeah. And so early detection is what you're talking about. The moment there's any abnormality, then you need to go have it checked out with your general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have, and this is my whole thing, what I advocate for every woman, man, and child, because it does affect children, is that the moment there's any indication, do not hesitate. And if a doctor or anyone else, a family member, for whatever box they're coming from, says, oh, let's wait and see, don't wait and see. That wait and see time frame can be a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and get a second, get a third opinion. Do whatever you need to do because you are your biggest advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned being a breast cancer victim and survivor.
Young or old, it impacts. So for the young people who think that they are not to be impacted by this or it can't mm-hmm. happen to them, or the young men and young women, mm-hmm. that's not true in this age. And history has shown that. So whatever you do, get checked.
Yes.
And don't be afraid, because you're dealing with such uncertainties, and who wants to learn that they have cancer? I mean, it's stressful anyway, just taking a test and waiting for the results. But you have to do it.
And just because you do get proactive about it, you still have to do your checkups.
Mm-hmm.
After I had cancer, and most women have cancer, and then it's removed, it is, they have like a weekly follow-up, a bi-weekly follow-up, a monthly follow-up, and then it goes 5 years, 3 years, to, you know, it narrows down. But even at that point, you have to be diligent. Don't mm-hmm. say, well, I don't need to do any more follow-up checkups. That's not true.
So
it can come back.
Can we say that the part that hula plays in it is part of that healing, part of that dealing with the issue, because you want to still be active.
Oh, yes.
And you, Kilohana, yes. You're talking about your halawan, and as well as yours, Kanoa. Your efforts are what, to not to distract the person who has cancer, but to give them something to do, and it's holistically approaching it as well.
Keeping your spirit up and in the right place, and your mindset in a place of healing, while you do everything you can physically to address whatever the problem, but the mind, body, and spirit heals together. And we know that.
Mm-hmm.
And hula is that way as well.
Absolutely.
Mind, body, spirit. You pour your whole self into hula. When you dance, it transforms you. And that's why for me, doing hula for breast cancer awareness is the best that I can do and give of myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most beautiful therapy that I can imagine. And I also believe that it's so helpful for many other kinds of health issues. And the theme, Hula for Health, is very broad. It encompasses everything. One of the groups that I'll be bringing to this May Day celebration is a group from the Salvation Army program, and these are women I work with, women in recovery from drug addiction, and they have found hula to be very uplifting for the spirit, and it's a very strict discipline as well, and it teaches one to work together as a group. Collectively, as a group of 20 or 30 women, to come together with a purpose and really understand and master a chant and all the movements and expressions. And several of them will be sharing their experience and how hula has benefited them for this particular purpose of getting their lives back on track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when you were here last time, someone asked me, well, why didn't you have it as doing ole?
Ole?
And I can't twist her arm, but...
Oh, you mean to do an ole on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, okay.
No, this is... Someone asked me that, and I go, That's right. She's a Casimira, and then you, the two of you here. So, in a sneaky way, I just ask you to do it.
Sure. So I also, two of my favorite kumuhula that I have my foundation from is, of course, Aunty Mikey Ayu Lake, as well as Lena Ala Kalamahaini. And one of the things that we were taught or had to do was to write an oli for ourselves. So, Eiyama kuna kamaliyoka aina. Na kamali iyo hawa ine hi poi kona uma uma o ko ma ko aloha na kahula e na mele me ka ho opono e ke akua e o na mea a pau I hala o na mea a pau I ke ia manawa o na mea mai ke ia wa aku. Aloha e, aloha e, aloha e. And what I did was I said, here we are. E ia mako, here we are. We are the flowers of Hawaii who are cherished in her bosom. And what we come to do is share with you about hula song. And that we bring to it with blessings from Keakua as well as our ancestors for all times past, all time present, and all time to come. Mm-hmm. And we share this with aloha.
Aloha.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
I would love to share an oli lei because this is our theme. May Day is Lei Day in Hawaii. And this is certainly an oli that we will be hearing all day long.
And many learn when they start.
And it's familiar to most hula practitioners. And there are many different leo or melody lines.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I learned from my kumu, Ellen Castillo. Kele mai lau kaulai ke kaie. Oh, mala mala moni hau uamarie, amarie pa kainu vahila, keinu mahila, nahala o na hue ike kai, no na hue kahala. No puna tavahine, no kawa, no ikiloea.
All right. Thank you.
Mahalo.
Mahalo mana this morning.
So, by the way, so that we don't miss this opportunity, let everyone know, you're going to be on the John Nolan Show.
Yes, on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yes.
At about 5-ish.
Well, he comes on at 5.
At 5, and he's that's the John Nolan Show every day, 5 days a week here, ladies and gentlemen, KWAI. And it is 5 to 7, and many of you know John, and she's going to be on, and I can only say that I don't believe that you're going to come on at 5:30 and leave promptly at 6.
No. No, I am leaving myself wide open to be available, and I'm hoping to bring Tricia with me. Tricia is, Tasha. Tasha Chang, and she is with Pictures Plus. Mm-hmm. She is also a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And so we can clarify even then how Pictures Plus is going to be assisting us.
Well, you better come prepared with a lot of talk because John is local boy. And I mean, he knows the ins and outs.
He Portuguese.
Bring some extra water, and I'm sure you guys are going to have a great conversation.
I have known John for many, many years. And I ran.
Yeah, he is rather old.
he's been around for. But to me, he's just this young boy, you know, just this young boy. But he's been on many talk radios,
yeah.
And he's done a lot of good work. And I truly appreciate not just John, I appreciate yourself, as well as Poki, who was on earlier.
Poka, who was on earlier.
Because what you bring to the table with talk radio are many issues that are really, they help clarify and they help us define who we are as a people from these islands. So I say mahalo, 1080 a.m.
Yeah, that's the joy of being here. It's a voice. It's a sounding place, you know, and unless you have lots of money and you're just not going to get it anywhere else. This station, really, the owners, Barry and his brother, are absolutely
dedicated.
Connected to the community.
Yes.
I can tell you that firsthand.
So besides talk radio, I'm grateful for public television, too, because those are the voice and the images of the people. And it's so important all the way around, not just with breast cancer, but in every way. So important.
Now, if people want to just come down and participate as viewers, listeners, or if they want, are you still inviting others to dance and others to
come
and play music?
So of course.
How
yes.
and where do they contact and who do they contact?
They can contact Ivalani Siu, our founder of the Ivalani Foundation. And she has given out her email, which is ivalani1 at yahoo.com. I-W-A-L-A-N-I, the number one, at yahoo.com. That's Ivalani. Or you can contact me at Kaz, C as in Charlie, A-Z as in Casimiro, Twin, T-W-I-N, because I am, Kaz Twin.
There's two of you?
At AOL.com. There's two of me, but two very different parts of me.
Really? Okay.
And those who know, know. And those who don't know, it's like, oh, seriously?
Okay. Well, I didn't know that, even though I saw the email last time you were here. But
yes, and then my cell number is 808-224-07. 67. You can call me, leave a message. Please leave a message. I can't always get to it. But please leave a message and I will get back to you. Please email me and I will also get back to you. In whatever way possible, we would love to have people come down with their information and share. But there'll be lots of activities throughout the day as well. Not just me dancing and other beautiful hula dancers, male and female dancing, and other kumu hula sharing. There will also be arts and crafters, artisans, through Namea Hawaii. They will take that whole breezeway area and set up tables. We're even going to have a lei-making table where people can come down and make a lei, string a lei, make a lei, so they can wear a lei that day. Because a lei is very important. It is a symbolism in songs. A pua or a lei is someone that we love and cherish. Lei makamai is a cherished lei or person. When we wear a lei, we wear that lei upon our hearts. So it's important to us, the lei. And May Day is unique to Hawaii, unlike anything anywhere. So, you know, when you pow at the city and county, down at Kapi'olani Park, you have someplace else to go. When you pow over at the elementary schools, you have somewhere else to go. You can come see us.
And so your group, Kilohana, that will be here, what time will they be performing or throughout? Or is it just ad-libbing as the schedule permits?
Well, actually, we do have a rough schedule, and Kilohana has several groups that she teaches. One of them will be in the morning.
Yes, we'll be the first group, I believe, after the opening ceremonies. The ladies from the Salvation Army program, and their halau is called Halau Hula O Navahine O Ha'aheo, the Proud Women. And I'm very proud of their efforts, and they will be sharing what they do in hula, and several will say a few words about how it truly benefits them. I'm also going to be bringing people from the Micronesian community from Kalihi Valley, Kokua Kalihi Valley. And this is a group that I teach, Hula for Health. These are people who have had problems with diabetes, heart problems, high blood pressure. And Hula has truly helped save some lives in this program as well. Mm-hmm. So they will be sharing, along with the Salvation Army women, towards the end of the afternoon. I believe for 4:30 I'll be bringing my kupuna. And this is through the Kapi'olani Women's Center Health Program, Hula for Health. And these lovely ladies will be sharing their hula at that moment.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing I thought I should probably bring up is that that day, I would like to invite all my hula brothers, all my hula sisters, from all the different times that I have danced hula since I was 5 years old. I started off in park and recreations like so many of us, because that's where the kumuhula were housed. And so through the park and recreation, I was blessed to go to Auntie Noi Noi Mahoi. I have also been blessed and touched by Auntie Rose Joshua. And, of course, I belong to the Kahumanu Society, so the ladies there are taught by her daughter. And so I want to extend it to Hula Halau or Mikey, because I come from Auntie Mikey. So, Kulina, just putting it out there. And to Na Kamale or Lililehua, congratulations for your win at Mary Monarch. And if you are available, come on down and hula with me. Robert, my darling brother Robert, who is very busy. I don't know if he can be there. Roland, I would love to see you there, even if it's just to come in and just be part of the energy. Mm-hmm. I put it out to everyone. People like Kale, people like Nahoa, people like whoever. Mm-hmm. If you're in the neighborhood, Zanuck, my nephew, Richard Arakuji, just come. Mm-hmm. Just get out and come. It's Friday. It's May Day. Come share your brand of aloha. And I'll be there. Trust me. I will be there. But maybe, do we have any callers? That would be nice. So I don't have to hear myself talking all the time. Come on in. Yeah. Give a call.
It looks as though he's talking with someone.
It's going to be such a celebration.
Yes.
And the spontaneity of the event is what's going to make it so special. There is a structured program and lots to do, the lei making and all the arts and crafts. But a lot of spontaneity. People can just appear and take part and contribute.
That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. That's true. So in other words, if I'm dancing and the song comes up that you also know, feel free to get up and dance. It doesn't matter that your hula style is different. The thing is, if you want to get up and share, you have the right to do that. It's an open forum.
So Friday, May 1, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Ward Warehouse, the
yes.
amphitheater. And you guys will be there with approximately 500 dancers or so?
Throughout the day, mm-hmm. there'll be a lot of women and men that will come down. Mm-hmm. We will have a Ivalani Foundation booth where mm-hmm. Ivalani will share information about her Hono'uli'uli healing gardens, mm-hmm. as well as about the Ivalani Foundation, as well as information about breast cancer. I have contacted my classmate, who is with Imi Loa and Papa'ula'lokahi, Native Hawaiian Health, and they're going to be providing information. I invite the people over at our American Cancer Association. If you would like to share information, please, we'd be happy to share your information at our information booth. So please come and join us. Also, Ward Warehouse is a pet-friendly mall.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was there, and this lady had her little animals with her. So cute. And then we had a number of them walking around that had their coconut there was a little pug that had a coconut bra and hula skirt on. So cute, so cute.
Cartoonish.
Actually, really charming. But mm-hmm. please come.
Now, the one of the things I had a question asked of me, we had said, now, right now, the Evelina Foundation is getting the 501c3, or will
yes.
be applying for it. So
yes.
I may, in my conversation, I may have represented that it was a nonprofit, so making clear that it's not a nonprofit. So that
We do have our state mm-hmm. as well as our federal ID as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We have those numbers. But at the moment, but just because you have a business nonprofit, that's
right.
a different status.
Right.
So therefore, we are umbrellaed under a 501c3. And I forgot to get that information.
So just the question that was posed to me, if it's a nonprofit, are the donations
yes.
Write off, or can you
yes.
write them off to the when you make it out to the Evelina Foundation? I want to
yes.
make sure that
yes.
that was...
You can do that, and we will have receipt books there so that we can give you a receipt, mm-hmm. and we can follow up with that as well.
And so it would be a tax deductible?
It is tax deductible through the 501c3 that we are umbrellaed under.
Okay.
While we get our actual, while we're going through the process, because we don't know how long that takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done all the paperwork. It's in process.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we are umbrellaed by a 501c3.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you, Cash, concerning pahu drum. It's a very unique instrument that is used in hula. And I was wondering how difficult it is to make one and what is the significance of it?
Well, the pahu was actually brought over by pau. A long time ago, Kawakahiko, during ancient times. And we never had a pahu. But Pa'au, when he came to the islands, brought the pahu drum. The pahu drum is used in ceremonies. It is and with the first hula, which was Kahiko. It is not easy to make. First of all, the most preferred material is coconut. So what you have to do is we will not go out and willingly cut down a coconut tree.
Uh-huh.
We will, although it has been searched out, when somebody really needs to have a tree of a certain size, and I know you've seen many pahu that are really big around.
Right.
And so if you look at it, right side up as it's standing, it's wide at the top and narrow at the bottom,
uh-huh.
right?
Right?
Well, actually, if you turn it the other way around, more than likely, it was at the bottom that the widest part of the actual coconut tree. What we tend to do is wait till it gets to an age where it's okay to cut it down. And then what we do is we take all the leftovers and put it back into the aina. So what we take from the aina or the land, we want to give back to the aina. It takes a long time for it to dry. And people have made it out of wood. Like other cultures, they've made it from other kinds of trees. But it takes a long time to dry it. And you can't just put it outside to dry, because when you put it in heat like that, it'll crack.
Uh-huh.
And once it cracks, it loses its timbre or its sound. And so, therefore, it needs to be kept in a dry, cool place that's semi-dark so that it dries without cracking. And then you have to find a cow,
uh-huh.
which is the substitute hide
uh-huh.
for shark.
Wow.
The preferred hide
uh-huh.
is a shark.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the sennet rope that is used that has to be woven together,
uh-huh.
the sennet rope, which it comes from the coconut husk.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's not very long, so that means you're constantly, like doing French braiding, you're constantly adding on to it
uh-huh.
to braid this long sennet rope. And that's what you use to connect and tie it on to the drum itself. The other thing that you have to consider is the pattern that you carve on the bottom of your drum. What is that pattern, and what is the significance of it? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thought, a lot of prayer that goes with it, mm-hmm. a lot of asking for hoai luna or signs from the elements, from our ancestors. You don't just make a drum.
Mm-hmm.
At least my personal experience is that it takes a lot of soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a monkey pod piece of wood drying in a cool, dark place for a good 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not quite dried properly,
mm-hmm.
but it can't be, it has to cure.
It can't be rushed.
It can't be rushed. It's in mm-hmm. Kiaku's time. But thank you for asking, because it's not that easy. It's not an easy, fast process.
So is that why they sell pahu drums? They're very expensive because of the time and effort.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, that's part of the reason. And I'm sure that there are specific pahu makers,
mm-hmm.
just like specific ipu makers, that really, ipu is the gourd that
mm-hmm.
people make their own pahu ipu. It does take time, and therefore it is a little more expensive. Of course, if you belong to halau, you learn to make your own implements. I have hiked into the back of a valley and dragged out bamboo,
right.
cut it, dried it, worked with it, sanded it down, gotten to the point of when I'm doing just the individual tine, so to speak, and then broken it. And it just kills me.
Yeah.
And then I have to start all over.
But it's good to make something that you made and take pride in what you made.
Exactly. And that's all part of the process mm-hmm. of being an olapa, a dancer,
mm-hmm.
as Kilohana and I are,
mm-hmm.
as being an alapkai, or a leader within the structure of a halau or hula school.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you learn, you take the next step until you finally put it all together. You learn the language, you learn to write, you learn to oli, you learn to speak, and then you become a kumula. But by that time, you should have made all your instruments.
Correct.
So what would be the price of a pahu drum?
Oh, I don't know. At least a couple of $100 would be the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably would be something that's fairly small.
Small.
Yeah.
I've seen one at Ward Center. Do they have a Hawaiian shop over there?
Yes, Naumea Hawaii, yes.
Yeah, there was a shark skin one time my friend went to go look at, and it was not that big, but was in $1,000 range.
Oh, there you go. Especially because it's shark skin, yeah?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And it was a smaller one?
Smaller one. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the smaller drums, especially if they're maybe only about 8 to 12 inches tall,
mm-hmm.
that's called a kilu. Okay, because when you beat with your one hand on the larger pahu, then you usually have a braided tea leaf that you hold,
right.
and you hit the kilu. So it would be boom, kilu, 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 boom, kilu, kilu, boom, kilo, kilu, kilu, boom, kilu, kilu. So you hit the pump, the pahu, pahu, bump, 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 bump. And that's how you get the different sound of pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is usually with kahiko.
Mm-hmm. And at the Marimana, they have the bigger drums, I guess.
Yep. Awesome. I tell you what, those drums,
uh-huh.
and to take them over the way they do, it's chancy when you put them on those planes.
Uh-huh.
You know, so some people usually will carry their pahu, or they'll carry their ipuheke, their double gourds, or they will borrow from someone
uh-huh.
on the big island, or they will house in a pahu uh-huh. with a friend, or maybe with any one of their haumana that live on the neighbor island, so that they don't have to worry about it breaking or something happening to it.
What about other instruments that they use in hula? Like they have a container with beads and they shake it. I'm not too sure what that is.
The uli, the rattling gourds.
Yeah.
Yes, kahiko times they were made, but they were made from chicken feathers,
mm-hmm.
and they were usually brown, and the tops of them were usually tapa.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, they get more adventuresome, but it's all hand-done. Some people will use glue, but by right, it's supposed to be hand-sewn.
Uh-huh.
Everything is hand-sewn. Just like now, you will see a lot of people wearing feather lei, and those are usually handmade by the dancers themselves.
Mm-hmm. And what beads do they put inside the...
Well, actually, it's natural. The gourd itself is called the lamia.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes from a tree, and when it falls and it dries, the seeds on the inside dries inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so they poke holes,
mm-hmm.
and then they shake out all the rubbish,
mm-hmm.
and that's natural.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aloha.
Aloha. Mahalo for calling.
That was a wonderful question.
Because
it brought out how connected hula is to nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show, and my guest is Mrs. Kilohana Silve and...
Kanoi Casimero.
Kanoi Casimero.
And I'm not a Mrs. Casimero, just FYI.
Oh.
I am a Casimero. I didn't marry one. Everybody goes, oh, which one did you marry? I didn't marry a Casimiro. I am a Casimiro.
I thought then, and when it said, I'm not married, and I, no.
It's just a little sort of trivia that most people don't know.
So you didn't marry into the Casimiro family. You were born into it.
I was bonded into it.
Ah, okay.
I for real, I was bonded.
So we were just announcing the Hulathon on the 2015 Hulathon, taking place May 1, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater.
Right.
And we got a couple more minutes, and we'll bring this to a close. Any more comments? Or?
I don't know. I think we've covered a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've covered a lot about hula, about the event itself. We have done a few things that will be showing up on Ulelo, and watch your newspaper, watch the events calendar,
mm-hmm.
watch TGIF. It'll all be in there.
The Tina Quizon had a show. She did one for you guys on Pathways to Paradise. Pathway to Paradise. I was going to put up a link to that on Ulelo. And I thought you were, there was a series of them. I don't know.
Yes, we actually spent a whole day there, and we taped about four of them. We had about four or five tapings. It was a marathon. We just kept coming back, changing into our pink outfits. And
now, there is someone, and she did all of this in the same time, at the same time, learning that she just... has breast cancer.
Yes, our prayers.
I'd be somewhere in a hole hiding and nervous as I'll get up, but she's out filming, and so it says something about her spirit.
Yes, you know, she felt very blessed to have something to work on,
mm-hmm.
that a theme that was so close to her own personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed with Ivalani for a while,
mm-hmm.
and for her recovery. And I am truly appreciative of Tina for mm-hmm. what she did. It was through Tina that we came to you
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah. So you will be able to, this went, hopefully the things come of it and people follow, because you just never know who you're going to help.
Yes.
Never. I think when
yes.
in Tina's situation, she did on Pathways of Paradise,
mm-hmm.
did that for you folks, and then she did another one where she's talking about the VA. So if there's any veteran women out there, please go to the VA and sign up, check up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how she discovered her. She didn't have any idea that it was.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So.
And see, that's how we are. We're perfectly healthy. And
mm-hmm.
then, boom, it hits
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So anyway, when do you leave? Are you permanent living here now? Or you live both places in France and here, Kilohana?
I live in both places in my mind and heart, but I'm now a resident here, living in Honolulu, in
mm-hmm.
Manoa. And I return to Paris once or twice a year, and my haumana come here. Every 2 years, we have a big Hawaii Arts Festival in Paris to share the culture abroad.
So it's big in Japan, hula is,
mm-hmm.
and it's big in, I understand, Korea is going to, and what other countries
Mexico.
Mexico.
Also in China, it's beginning to grab hold in China. It's everywhere.
Yes.
I know of several halals, even Australia. Even Australia, as well as, of course, New Zealand. They're being our Polynesian cousins. You know, we share back and forth. I just had hula with two ladies visiting from Australia. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. And they have a hula halal as well.
So if if we're fortunate, then everybody learned the dance, and through the dance, they give back the people of their country. Wouldn't that dance right into their hearts?
Yeah, and you know what? Every country has a similar, some kind of dance form that connects them in mind, body, spirit. At least for the ladies of Japan, what I've found because of their culture is allows them to really express themselves. They're so exact with their roles within their culture that this is where they can truly show their feelings. So, God bless them.
Well,
I am very thankful.
I appreciate you guys joining in and coming in and talking with me. And so, if there's anything else real quick, anything in closing you'd like to say?
Yes. I'll see you all there.
All right.
Come on down May 1st. We're going to start. It's 9 to 9 because we are actually going to be there earlier, setting everything up so that no later than 9:15, we can start. Kumuhina will be there to do the opening ceremonies. And then we will have a little bit of talking. Kumu Ka'ivi Lam will also be there. We'll have a conch shell blower. We'll get things rolling. And then, le voila. Semra.
Right. Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Mahalo. Thank you so much for the time and allowing us to share this important information, and just come. We are really looking forward to celebrating with hundreds and hundreds of people. The energy is going to be fabulous. It's going to be festive. It's going to be a true celebration of life.
Yeah. May Day is late day in Hawaii. There you go, everybody. Garlands of flowers everywhere. Aloha, we're signing off. All of the colors in the rainbow. Maidens with blossoms in their hair. Thank you for listening. 1080 AF.
Flowers that mean we should be happy.
KWAI with Cox.
Growing aside a load of care. Oh, May Day is Lay Day in Hawaii. May Day is happy day out here.
Bye.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Ahiho. A biento.
Stay tuned
for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI.
Know that I love you honest as I do.
Children of Asthma, here's the Breathe Easies with another one of your favorite hits.
Don't smoke in the house.
No
one. Don't smoke in the house. Don't smoke in the kids. Don't smoke in the car.
Don't smoke in the house. Please tell me you love.
Car smoke-free zones. For more Breathe Easy tips,
you the sweetest little one that I ever had. Mm-hmm.
told you I love you. Stop driving me mad. When I woke up this morning, I never felt so bad.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
And good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I just enjoy sitting here and listening to some of the Olays and talking. But a couple things. If you live in the area of Hawaii Kai, or you find yourself out there, you know, there's, you're always looking for somewhere to eat. There's a place at the, they have a club there, right there on the Hawaii Kai Drive. And in there is a small restaurant called the Aloha Cafe. Awesome salads and great black bean vegetarian sandwich at 6800 Hawaii Kai Drive. It's called the Aloha Cafe. And I think that if you are interested to find yourself out there, I like to go to Chili's, or not Chili's, there's another small restaurant there, and there's the Shack and some other places. But add this one to your list. The Aloha Cafe, and I mean really good food. And they're open 6 days a week, and this is not a paid commercial. This is one who just went there. I was taken there for an early birthday party, a present. And today is my actual birthday, so I'm 62 years old. And if any of you got any ideas on how to get squeeze more age out of this, let me know, because I intend to hang around. I'm having a good time. So 62 good years of fun, friends, and a little hard knocks here, and you know what I'm saying, but it's okay. But anyway, I hope that many of you out there, all of you out there, get to experience as much life as you can. And so that place, again, is Aloha Cafe, 6800 Hawaii Kai Drive. And let me see, what is there? They have breakfast served until 12 p.m., and 6 days a week. Their phone number, 395-3300. And I really believe that. So Tuesday through Friday, they're open, 10 a.m. To 1 p.m., and then they take a break for 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then on Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I believe you'd be impressed. So anyway, that was that. And I just, you know, it's a kind of a really nice thing to do when I go out to Nanakuli and Waianae, and I'm able to take a peek back into my youth and what have you, and see the good jobs and the good things that people try to do to make things good and better for and educate the kids. So at the Nanakuli High School, I was fortunate to go and see the on-stage play put on by the Nanakuli High and Intermediate School Performing Arts Center. And the play is called Hunk. Absolutely, I've been around Hollywood productions, and I've lived in Hollywood, or as some of you say, Hollyweird. I've actually lived over there in North Hollywood and lived in Los Angeles, and been to many, the Wilshire Vale Theater, and many, many, many functions at various places. And just approaching the Nanakuli gym and or the facility that houses this play, and the kids singing, you'd be impressed. So they just to give you an idea, and I don't speak completely of all the details and facts, but give you a basic idea, general idea, to put on this play. Yes, even in high school or the school, just to get permission, they have to come out of pocket for $3,000. And there's about 40 kids in the actual production, and you would be impressed. As I've said to you a couple of years back on some of the other plays, and some of the kids have actually from that area gone to Scotland to sing and what have you, and we've featured some of them on the show. But for those of you that have a little care or interested in supporting community actions and efforts, no, the West Side is not the wild side. It's the kids out there are looking to learn and be and have so much to give. So if you care to, go out there and join them. And I'm trying to find the actual schedule, but it was absolutely an awesome play. And the phone number, or it's actually the 89980 Nanakuli Avenue in Nanakuli. So if you have any questions, please go out there. And all donations that you were to give is tax deductible as a donation. And their numbers, their ID number is 99-0266482. And see what you can do to help them out. And maybe you never know. Some of these kids remember the Pussycat Dolls and look at Holloway now as beat the guy last night, ranked number 5. So there's more good things in Waianae than we know about. So let's try and highlight that and say cheer them on. 524-1080 is the number that if you'd like to call in, if you've got anything that's aching your belly or you want to talk about. Not that I'm short of subjects. Never that. It's just that sometimes I want to make sure that when I see you on the street, it says, well, why didn't you talk about that? And it's becoming annoying. And what I'm saying is, why don't you call in and talk about it? It's okay if you have some, something within reason. We don't try to knock down people because of religion, sexual preference, or whatever. We don't engage in that. But one of the news things that caught me, and this is period of Earth Day, by the way, and I spent a portion of yesterday just trying to grab some pictures, and the day before, right there in the Kalau Owl Spring area by Sears, the Watercress Farm, there's a ditch there. And I want to, you've heard me talk about trash in the streams and it's impacting the endangered species. And some of you may think that this is just a ploy or just to get attention to say that this is happening. But I want to convey an image to you or portray this. This is a real life setting. Imagine having this bird about the size of a plump pigeon. And it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful bird with a red head. It's the Hawaiian word is alai ula, the red forehead. And then there's alai keokeo, or we know them as the moor hen or the mud hen, depending on how loosely you are with common names. But Galanu. But anyway, this bird is nesting and has nested there for some while. And with all the rail traffic going over and the construction and what have you, and the cars hitting the pipes and hitting the, those steel plates and making that noise, just right there in this unkept mud hole. And when I say unkept, I mean unkept. The city, I'm going to approach them and ask them to do some cleaning up, but obviously got to be careful not to disturb or interfere with the or impact the bird that is trying now to fledge. But there's this, if you go to carolcox.com, you're talking about the ugly duckling. There's this young Galanu. I would say he's maybe 2, 3, 4 days old. And if you want to know what motivate many of the environmentalists or like yourselves that you really care and you want to be reminded of, this is a real fight. This is a real debate. These issues, when someone says to you, well, we got to be careful in putting the rail, or we got to be careful in putting the ferry in, or anything that's going to have a major impact on endangered species. And then someone say, well, no, that's just all poppycock. You're just doing that to throw up a screen to interfere and disturb progress. But the reality is progress, we've progressed so far that we've painted ourselves in a corner as it relates to the endangered species or the environment in itself. You know, if you're in fond of air-conditioned rooms and tall buildings and people eating out of plastic bags and on the go with the cell phone, then it's a successful world. But if you are connected to the natural state, then you'd understand. So here's this little bird. Probably, if you look at it, it look as though it's ill. It's uncommon to see a bird that has a red head look like he's sunburned. And the parents, if you have the parent bird there along with it, then you'll understand what eventually this ugly, ugly little duckling, like Honk, the duck in the play, the ugly duckling. If you look at this duckling, go to carolcox.com. And I think you will, if you want a definable moment or be reminded that this is how real the need is to protect our resources, to protect our natural resources, you'll find in this pond, in this little stream, you have paper cups, slippers, trash bags, bottles, McDonald's cups, Coca-Cola cups, Pepsi cups, with the straw still in them. Apparently somebody felt it either blew off the car or they were through sucking the juice out of the cup, so they just threw it away. And you see all of this. And you see this small bird. I'm telling you about the size. You can put him in your hand and close your hand, to be honest with you. But it has this red head, look like it's sunburned, and has this red beak. But the reality is, this is an endangered species, and it will grow up to be one of the most beautiful birds you've ever seen. But it's in a little mud puddle. And all of this noise and all of this progress and all of these things occurring, is it not amazing? And so you'll be moved. And so go to carolcox.com if you'd like to see this scene and look at this area here. It's right by the Watercress Farm. And so it's just a reminder of what this thing called environmentalism is, or what it stands for. And then that means any of us can be an environmentalist as we see the degradation that's occurring and speak out against it. And this is Earth Day period. We'll say the week. Yesterday, I'm told, was Earth Day. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Sounds like you went on the move and talking about birds instead of hula.
Well, hey, they're all related.
Can we still talk about hula?
Yeah.
All right, I'll start off with the bird. Talking about birds in general, it's funny how when you raise your middle finger, it's called flipping a bird or shooting a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that derive from? But in hula, there's this ancient Hawaiian belief systems YouTube video series by a Molokai Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in around 300 A.D., Molokai was the crown jewel of, we'll say the island chain for not knowing any better, but let's say the universe, just to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I guess, a Tahitian flotilla offshore, and all the Molokai residents, I don't know if they were the king and the queen or a prince and a princess running it over there, but they did what I'm going to call hula right now, not knowing any better, but they did dancing and chanting, and it kept the Tahitians at bay offshore, and life went on pretty good that way. And I was wondering if there's a way to inquire about what that dance was called or what those practices were, and how we might be able to recreate them to get the so-called Tahitian-esque forces off of our island. Not that Tahitians are bad in and of themselves, but like the federal government, tickets for not having seat belts, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So should I just listen in?
Yeah, listen in. I have nothing to offer on that one. I can also inquire later on.
Yeah, we can also add royalty here ordain themselves or adorn themselves with feathers. And that's pretty that there's so many different colors to weave into such nice tapestries.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep the birds going.
You mean the Hawaiians or you mean the current politicians when you talk about adorning themselves and acting cocky?
Let's see if any of them put a feather in their hat and call them Yankee Doodles.
Or they may call them Caldwell or Yiggy or call themselves,
Yeah, I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah.
Yankee Doodle, do am I? And I can't remember anymore.
Well, I was a little concerned, thought maybe you had actually decided to leave the islands and take away our humor and our thought.
I'm going both ways. And I come up with one like, I'm a Spank Me Doodle Daddy. Spank Me Doodle, do am I? And then it goes on to something about not wearing pants on the 4th of July and reproducing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that rendition of Yankee Doodle.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you. Alrighty. So, with this bird, I was sitting there thinking to myself, if people could, if I could take this little piece of scenery and this one circumstance and share it with you, I believe when you look at the fragility and the nature of the whole situation and how fragile, it speaks for itself. You have this channel that it's a natural spring that is feeding this water. So Hawaii was, and we can't stay stuck into the past. Let's understand. I don't want to get a call saying, well, we got to change and we can't impede progress. Well, you can and you should impede progress when it finds that you have robbed yourself of the various things that you know that are beautiful, that you require and that you rely on to have a peaceful living and a peaceful coexistence. So you take this, it's no bigger than a postage stamp in life, let's say, and you have this family, a mother and a father, a hen and a male, a drake, Galanu, raising this little offspring. And they're feeding on the weeds and the grass and the copepods and all of the other critters that are associated with aquatic life that they would tend to eat. And then you see the filth that the humans have dumped in, and it's such a sad commentary. And you see the trash that's just laid. The water is crystal clear, by the way. You've always heard about how clear the spring water is in Hawaii and what have you. Well, if you went there and stood on that bridge, or if you want to see it, go to Sears and park in their lot and then just walk toward Eva. There's a canal there. And that canal has been cemented. So the bottom is cement, the sides are cement, and it's to channel out this spring water. So this water is bubbling up out of the ground and feeding this. And we see maybe every two or three birds may fledge. And then to make matters worse, you have this aukuu, a night heron, who poses a risk to the offspring or to the adults because they eat small birds. And so you don't have just hanging on by a fingernail. And it has many stories that it speaks to. This is a Hawaiian culture, just hanging on by its fingernails because everything, the displacement, and when you see the building and the construction and the comments that follows is that we need to build this. We shouldn't impede progress. We shouldn't. And I just don't see the logic and what would motivate anybody to think that given us small amount of land, it's fragile nature, and then you think that you should build everything or there's no limits because everyone has a right to build. So this brings some real thought and provokes you to thinking, where are we going and what are we going to end up with? And may have a forest of condominiums, and it may all be just great. And eventually, I think that it will probably, we will be so conditioned that we will probably end up going up to some food bank eventually in many, many years to come, and have a little spigot where we connect in for a certain cost to get a mucus-like substance that we eat to sustain ourselves. And then we still have our cell phones and all the fancy cars and, you know, doing all of that. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
I've mentioned this already, but since we're using the ground level and even the basement levels for parking, there's no reason why they can't put in the additional funding to create more jobs and have more opportunities to make above the penthouse on all these high rises, aviaries and public parks with public easements with separate access, and we could take a step above, put the ground on the roof, rather than just let it be what they said in, like, California. When they put in the orange groves, their temperature dropped. When they put in the tracked housing and the pavement, the temperature raised up. So if we can retrofit the older buildings to put aviaries on the smaller ones or in public parks and aviaries on the bigger ones, we would be doing pretty good.
Who get to enjoy the aviaries on top of the building?
It'd be public access with easements. It could be separate elevators, but they'd be considered public parks, and, you know, security could monitor the access and egress of the elevators up into that area. And then you just go out there and hang out.
Well, in my view, it would be presenting a problem, and really, because, I mean, it's a great idea. Wherever you can go green, we should plant plants wherever, because of what they, the purpose they serve in cleaning the air, but also cooling the temperatures. But that person built that building because it was his or hers to own. It was theirs, and so it was a private matter, so they get to do what they want as long as...
With cost effectiveness and cost efficiency matters,
mm-hmm.
and expensive security, but we need to make it a state law that any, because of the preciousness of the land, and if the dirt up there needs to be rotated, there needs to be another system to go ahead and remove it and then replant it. But aviaries and top floor park gardens, maybe you could even offer the residents a chance to do some gardening up there. Doesn't matter how big you think.
Yeah, but what happens here is that could be already done and initiated, but what the system is so corrupted, the planning and permitting office tend to do certain things for certain people.
Let's say less corrupt, more so hypnotized to be in the boardroom to listen to the bird that chirps up and goes, I can do cheaper, I can do more for less, or we can do, we got to be cost effective. Get rid of that. Be human functional.
Right, I agree with you, but in the boardroom, you know, it's cheap, 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 and it's not the bird singing that it's, you know, it's...
That's got almost to be physics, the entropy of doing business.
Yeah.
Cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. And what do you get all this cheap plastic that breaks? They haven't even figured out fiber plastic, so it doesn't break.
Right. Well, all I could say is that when you look in the streams and the side, the ditch banks and the river banks and look at the bed of the river and the streams, and you see plastic, plastic, plastic. And
oh, God, I know that story, Carol. It's gone microscopic. It's in almost anything you cut open in the ocean, and I just don't know how the enzymes are dealing with it and bringing it into the bloodstream and through the real meat of the animal.
Well, you know, I was going to talk about a lack of detail. Today's article in the Star Advertiser, and I don't like talking about, but this was consistent with something that I was going to speak. Lack of detailed rail plan a concern. And the subheading is uncertainty remains over how the city will pay to operate and maintain the system.
Does your heart of hearts tell you the train's going to go the way of the boat and they're just going to pick it up and resell it? Yeah, it's a steel on steel, the oldest stuff in the world. We can sell it to the third world nation easy.
I don't know. Personally, I'm saddened by every other week we see a new what I'll describe as a revelation, a failure, and yet we still see that they're in a hurried pace to put in place columns and pipes so that they can say and convey to the public, we've gone too far to turn around. And personally, I believe that have not gone very far enough, and we should shut it down.
Are they passing hydrology tests to see that the pole, the piling that they placed today doesn't sink in 10 years?
Yeah, well, they're not going to be around, and they don't give a darn, and so what's...
It'd be a roller coaster instead of a train.
So there's so much about this state, and what I would say, it speaks to our city council, our legislators, extending the GET and all of that, and the desire, without ever having to come forward and show their management and their process now, so let the public be transparent. They don't have that, and yet they want us to give more.
Well, let's try another draconian law and make it a law that everybody coming into town has to ride a motorcycle. And that would take up some of the slack.
Brother, where you been in the last couple of days? You know how deadly motorcycles
are? Kidnapped by Harley Davidson riders.
Oh, my God.
It was a blast.
I mean, bicycles, the only thing they give a little credit to is the King Street bicycle lane, and everything else, you take your chances and your life in your hand.
You could put a pretty small girl on a 250cc motorcycle, and she could zip from one side to the island pretty comfortably, and there'd be a lot of space left on the road.
You say a girl, a pretty little girl?
Yeah, because, you know, they're the ones you have to think about. They got the biggest work and the smallest bodies.
Huh?
And a motorcycle's pretty heavy. Some of them out here, the big Hawaiian girls, handle Harley Davidsons, can almost juggle them.
Mm, okay.
Hey, there's some big people out here.
Now I tell you, I don't know what the ladies are going to say about your comments, but they're not mine.
Well, the women, they've just been, if they have a motorcycle, you probably have to put a few sidecars on, because they'll be carrying kids in backpacks and sidecars. But that, the Hawaii, you got to save the birds. You got to put in the aviators. You got to have the public easements on top of the buildings. You've got to have good roads. You've got to make good, sensible things like timing lights. They can go on and on. It's just the government has a need to pick expensive projects because somehow that keeps them spending money, and that does keep the economic cycle going.
Well, yeah. Hold on. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Carol, you know this thing with the traffic and everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know that postal worker that was in Washington, D.C. was flying over the White House and everything?
Mm-hmm.
What was that device? Was it something that you can use to get around?
Oh, you can use it to get around. They've way back when they first, a gyrocopter or whatever they call it.
Gyro, whatever.
Yeah, many times they talked about that and modifying it. And there are some smaller units like that, you know, and I remember when they said, well, see, it was when I first saw those, it was the Jetsons.
Right.
Those things have evolved to exocopters and hexacopters.
Right. So, you know, yeah, it I don't know, though, how do you imagine we can't get anybody to show courtesy on the road when we're right. Imagine you think the guy would slow down for you in midair.
It's like riding a boat. You have red and green lights.
Yeah, it'd be chaos up there.
Well, you know, where is the rest of the track? Oh, I left them hanging. You know, doing a hang ten. I don't know, but I'm sure they'll have those devices installed where it would prevent from colliding.
Yeah.
Collision alert, alarm, but then...
Radar.
But some people will probably turn it off, you see.
Uh-huh.
Flying under the radar. That's how they got into Washington, D.C. on that copter.
But my hat's off to the guy. He
that's
was
hysterical.
Just, he was just expressing himself. He told them that he was not a terrorist and, you know. And
he's a freaking American.
Yeah, and this is what we need to see, more display of behaviors that win back the American way, you know, freedom of speech and to demonstrate, you know. And I know there's the White House, but, you know, I mean, that other guy's jumped a fence and threatened the president's life. This guy telegraphed everything, apparently, let him know that he was just of, you know, freedom expressing himself in speech.
Maybe we should get drunk and run a tank into their security barriers.
No, I'll pass on. Yeah.
Hey, Barry, what's up, man?
Yeah, so, yeah. But,
The president probably found it funny. You know, they dropped in on it.
Oh, that's a little helicopter like that under the radar just cruising on in. Just puts a feather in the cap of aviation and what can be done with it. That was such an exciting delivery, and a postal delivery at that.
Yeah, I've never seen post office be so efficient.
Maybe the post office might start using drones somehow. Have the octocopters hanging out in front of your mailbox with the keys and the robot arms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a Richie Rich and 20,000 Space Odyssey in this brave new world is not behind us. It's like, how are we going to fix it? It's in our hands.
Well, all I would say to that is that incident with the helicopter or the gyrocopter sitting down on the front lawn or the back lawn of the White House really didn't rise to a level of concern to me. My concern is what companies and businesses are doing to suck the blood of America, the American way, the American dream.
Getting bigger, whatever they're called, fangs?
Yeah, government is, to be honest with you, in my opinion and my observations and my experiences trying to deal with, we really don't have a government anymore.
We do. It's of the people, for the people, and by the people, and we're not getting along, folks.
Yeah, is that B-U-Y people? By the people? By the people?
There you go. That's a good semantic.
But I mean, it's everything. You hear privatization, and then you hear citizens going, well, you know, they should privatize it. I've never heard such a dumb statement in my life so many times in the last year or so. Privatize it. Let's privatize it. Privatizing it means you strip yourself along with the service you get, you're going to get serviced.
Privatizing means you're trespassed. I'm going to have you in jail if you come back.
Right, and so defining the government, there's a story, a news story that I was reading where in one little small town they had private companies as security guards enforcing the no-burn laws, for example, those small ordinances. And the fine would be, if you caught violating, $500. Instead, they would tack on another $250 or $1,000. Then they would arrest you for burning leaves, for example, in which is not allowed. And you get arrested or you get a ticket, you're hauled down to jail, and then you want to bail out, but you got to pay $1,000 now. Wait, hold it. You said it was $250 for the violation. Now I got to pay $1,000.
And you gotta pay a good tip too, man.
Yeah. So this Kiewit, Parsons, Hart, and you see this, the trick was to take Hart and create it as a private autonomous group, but then you brought in the same jerks that were already citizens, you know, that came in and were specially hired. You know, you that list of people that got special appointments by Mufi Hanneman and others. So it was a private group, but they were, many of them, former state legislators, state workers. You understand?
Privatization sounds like an Indian trail march into that corporation turning you into a slave.
Right.
De facto, well, even though it's by the law.
Yeah, I heard them say, what's the group that's, ISIS is probably infiltrated the borders. For me personally, I would hate like hell to know that they are here. But I'm more concerned and more fearful of how our system has been degraded and how we've whored ourselves out to private interests.
I wouldn't be sensitive to ISIS being here because the real estate here is too valuable. But it's important to understand how the Judaism, the Christianity, and the Islam all got the same God, all got the same chosen land, and all the three different parties. We got to work that out somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I was thinking the other day, if we make a joke about the Muslim leader and they want to burn you up and blow you up, right? But then what if I took picture of the Last Supper and put new faces in it, where would I be? I would be damned for the rest of my life by the Catholic Church, the Bishop Church, the Baptist Church, the church. But many of them want to tell us how bad that side is, and here we're ruining people's lives on this side, you know.
I want a Planet of the Apes Last Supper picture.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
A hair-raising experience, I would say.
That'd be pretty hairy, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I guess bananas would be the main course.
Yeah, they throw away so many bananas it should be turned into ethanol, but people don't do that. It's called efficiency.
Right.
Efficiency is an abstract concept. What does it serve? Money. Another abstract concept.
Well, you know, whether if it's tomatoes you're raising or melons you're raising, the situation here, the grocery stores and the big chains say, well, we'll buy your product. And we don't want you to take that product, the tomatoes, leftover tomatoes that we don't buy, and we don't want you giving them or putting them on the market cheaper. So we want to adjust the prices, keep the prices at this level, and we'll ensure you, we'll pay you X number of dollars for that crop, or so to speak. You get these kinds of deals. In the meantime, containers and tons, hundreds of thousands of tons of fruits and vegetables are thrown away to let decay. And yet, so that's fine in a business sense, but what does it do to the land? It taxes the land to grow untold number of tons of fruits and vegetables or product, and then you're exhausting the land, and then you've got to go back and replenish it with artificial fertilizers and all. So I think we're headed down a path that unless we change and understand that the fascist approach to things here in America, you won't recognize America in 20 years.
Funny, I've got a joke. I'm Agent Fred Needles from the Fashion Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to write to you about your haircut and your shoes,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you might not even like your belt buckle today, sir.
But this thing, you know, everyone is bragging. Well, it's taken away the simple element of what it was to be American.
Oh, the American thing was simple, the supply and the demand. If there was oodles and oodles and oodles of corn or tomatoes or whatever, it went out for half a cent a piece. Now they got all this fixing stuff and all this adjusting stuff, and they won't even pay out right so transportation can get out to people that don't have anything but breath.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them the goods.
Well, you know, it's I think the chicken's going to come home to roost here soon, probably not in our lifetime, but I was thinking how we celebrate the soldiers and to the length we're going to go through in exhuming soldiers' bodies and remains so that we can do DNA and what have you. I think the soldiers would love to be, their families have them, but I think the average American soldier, like myself, I believe I served my country because I love what America stood for, all people. But instead, we're dancing to the business music now, the tune.
A man called about definition the other day. I think it's important. What do we mean by American? That's a broad paintbrush. American person that might be someone that fell on the lines of the Magna Carta, the Constitution, the Declaration of the Independence, and stays conservative and only on those values.
Well, my response is, if I got to explain to you what an American is and what it is to be American, then you're not an American, because you would know. You know, it would be like, why did God or whoever give you this left hand and the right hand? You know, I could have done without the left hand. That's up to you. But to be an American, is no one should have to explain it. If you don't appreciate it and know what it's worth, then something is not connecting anyway, and there's no hope.
Well, the full value of being American, if you follow its history,
then
a bunch of tribes out here, they were Native American Indians, and somehow they decided to take ownership of the land, a never known before concept except in England.
Well, they never owned land. This ownership is a new thing by new people. Hold on. Caller, go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, we must read the White House.
Pardon me? What was that?
The White House, something.
I don't know. I can assure you that was not an American person at heart. Because Americans stand up and say what they mean and mean what they say. You can call up on the radio show and whisper some idiotic thing. Come on, man. Get some balls or get something.
Yeah, try a paragraph, pal, not a sentence.
we're all frightened of everything, right? But we're going to...
What would you do with it if you were sitting at my place and you get a phone call like that? Do you pay much attention to it, or do you just think, where in the heck are we going? Did he not hear part of the conversation?
If 9 out of 10 doctors agree, I'm listening to the one that doesn't agree. I invite him to call back and
yeah,
more.
I mean, tell us what's on your mind. It might help us because there's something we may be missing, you know. But anyway, I guess that's the same spirit that said to many people that, well, you know what, we got a lot to say, man, and we got a lot of things to do, and we can shape America. Why don't we go buy some sheets and poke some holes in the, and then so we can peer through them and go burn houses, but just burn the houses of the black folks or the sympathizers for the black folk or people of color. Yeah, and then hang up. Well, you know, okay, welcome to the club. Anyway.
That's a weird part of history. I was in Alabama in 75 in an all-white school, and I came from Maryland, and I really didn't know the troubles. But, man, I was surrounded by them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be the first to remind everybody that I've talked openly about how we, the injustices. I think the Christopher Columbus discovering America is the greatest insult. We talk about the use of the N-word to celebrate that Christopher Columbus discovered America when it was supposedly an accident, you know.
Yeah.
How do you insult a nation of people, a humanity, by reminding and celebrating that annually, you know, and take offense when Native people say, how the hell can you discover me when I'm the one who helped you ashore? Because your stuff was ragged and you were starving.
Whatever they did, they enforced it by the Wilkerson sword. They had a manual for seafarers, and then they tried, I guess, cultivate or expect by acting militarily that the civilians would shape up even if they were non-English-speaking Indians.
Yeah, well, America has its woes and it has its ugly side, but it's about where we're going, and if we can be righteous and just to the people. I'm still waiting for my 40 acres and a mule that they promised me when they said, okay, you're free. I'm not going to work you anymore like I did. I'm going to actually give you a salary, you know, $2 a year. But
Barry, I need that 40 mule.
Hold on.
Acre.
Barry, go ahead, call it with your comments or question.
Yes, I'm wondering if anybody is investigating that traffic mess that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the
viaduct gate.
The viaduct? You mean with the zipper lane?
Yeah, the five-hour traffic jam. I was in that. I was just had my tooth pulled, and I had a cold, and I got stuck in that damn thing. Mm-hmm. And there was something very, very strange about that. It was like it was planned or something, because nothing was happening.
Well,
the police weren't around. The lights weren't being adjusted. No information on the radio. It's just something really, really strange about that whole thing.
Well, I think it's that extreme separation of government entities, number one. And I believe there, you know, you take a few little things to add fuel to your thoughts or the things you're suggesting. The police says we gave tickets because we didn't know what was happening. Well, if you are normal police duty and it's routinely patrolling and the traffic's flowing, and all of a sudden one day you don't see, you see traffic congestion big time and it's unusual, you would be motivated at least to call the office of traffic center and say, hey, there's some event that is causing some problem. Did the roads collapse? Or something, right?
Right, exactly.
But instead, they didn't know that. And then, oh, and you were driving on the shoulder. Oh, boom. So I think my takeaway from this is that David Ige as governor and what's the mayor's name? See, it's good when you don't remember the names.
Carlisle.
You remember the old days when you have a rush and you have to go to the bathroom and certain parts of your anatomy get caught in the zipper? Remember those days? Well, I think that's what my friend Ige and Caldwell is experiencing now. They don't want you to talk about it. I'm glad you raised that issue. I believe that it had a lot to do with someone saying, we're going to need the rail. I think it was, I believe it could have been orchestrated to justify the increasing, of because we need to rail, and we're going to see if we had to rail, it could free us up some of this traffic.
Yeah, you know, exactly. This happened exactly 1 week before the hearings on the financial committee down at the state capitol, and I seen the recording of the, of Carlisle of
Caldwell.
Caldwell's testimony and stuff, and he was using to beat the committee over the head with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we need an option, and it's just a total bunch of crap. It wouldn't do nothing for the traffic.
Isn't that funny how it's, this whole explanation and the benefits of the rail have morphed into the saving graces? This is what's going to do it for us? When in fact it got us into a mud hole, and yet we're, they're portraying it as being some means of rescuing us.
Yeah, it's just total shabai, you know. And I'm just really fed up with it. I'd like to hear other people, if they were angry about getting caught in that traffic, what they feel about it, and also anybody that was at the head of the traffic jam. In other words, where the traffic was getting let through the you know, there must be like 8 or 10 different lanes of traffic that could have gone through, and two lanes shut down the whole whole damn city.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at Alamana Shopping Center, and the traffic all stopped from down there.
Well, careful, my cane is listening.
Yeah, well, what happened is that it's the explanations that I found to be as insulting as the actual act. And the lack of explanation. The mayor, you notice he didn't come out and put his name on it. I know he's going to say, but that's the freeway and that's state. When in fact, it's both parties. I mean, we're operating out of the same box.
And the police are city, not state.
Right.
So there's a lot of control there from the city, and there was nothing. No traffic light control, no nothing. Anyway, I'd like to get this thing investigated, and I think... Viaduct gate might be a good way to refer to it.
Yeah, we'll talk some more then. Okay,
okay,
maybe next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caller, go ahead with your comment. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Mr. Cox. I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
You know, Hitler, you know how he succeeded? He assassinated all his opponents who, when he ran for Germany. What about America? Have we assassinated all the principles and the values that the founding fathers established?
Mm-hmm.
Look at what is being perpetuated. They say that liberalism produces prosperity, yet our edge economically in the world is being questioned. This privilege we have living in America, under the foundation of the founding fathers of America, we won 2 world wars because it was the right thing to do because of evil men. Why we won? Because we had a conscience based on correct principles,
mm-hmm.
based that the founding fathers had, and we have today. Is America going to assassinate all the principles and the values, all the wars that we fought?
Mm-hmm.
If we change our creed, we actually change the foundation of America. Where will you stand? For America or what? That is a big question to all the citizens of America.
Mm-hmm.
Where will you stand? What the founding fathers did so we became such the most prosperous nation in all of history? The foundation they established? Or will we fall away because of greed and perversion? That's my question.
I'll
take it on the radio.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. In my opinion, many of our problems that we see today is because America really didn't face up to the great lies that we say we won wars, but at the same time, we even incorporated people that we were discriminating against, and in turn incorporated them into the war as soldiers and what have you, and at the same time discriminating against them. So when I use the term America, I love that thought about America. It is what it can be. If I look over my shoulder and see what it was, it makes you want to cry. And that's why I say, for me personally, it's something we must work to build. But what we're doing now, we're losing ground. We're giving that ground away to companies who are not going to be sensitive to racial issues or religious issues. They want that dollar. And it's all about that money. So anyway, go ahead real quick. We're going to shut down.
That first thing called an American gets the birth certificates and a share. It's a stock in a corporation held in New York, and you are just whim-whammed the whole way through.
Well, remember Social Security numbers. It was just solely going to be used for basic things, but you show up now without a number.
It's your birth certificate, your share, and a
corporation. Birth certificate, as some claim, really not that big a deal. You could become the President of the United States, according to some of the Republicans out there, and not have a birth certificate.
That's where taxes and war come from.
In fact, you could even not be born to some of the Republicans and still become president. So, you know, but
look at the money.
But reality is we have lost so much, and I was looking the other day of some kind of gun that goes as far as a missile at Mark 7.
All right.
And it's like, wow, okay, that's great, but if we're going to be, what's the principles, as the gentleman raised?
Who makes that Mark 7 missile?
What's the principle that we're operating from?
Oh, God, you tell me.
Right? Are we going to take over the world and own everybody so that they can go and buy a milkshake?
No, we just had the fastest stick them up at high noon.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't want anyone to think that I have, when I say America, I'm a true blue American, period. I love it because what we can stand for and what we work for. But there are some uglies in the closet, and if we can open that closet and speak to those as well as moving forward, we're going to do good.
How about those infiltrating spies, for example?
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to take up that caller's. And we'll talk about that. I'll ask some questions. And I'd already talked about the Zippermobile way back and some of the problems that were occurring and the one company that had it and anticipating that these problems would happen. So we'll be back next week. So everybody take care and thank you for joining.
Bye.
Money is the root of all evil. Money is the cause of temptation. So, sister, open the doors of that little safe of yours and get it into circulation. Give some to Jack, give some to Mac, give some to my cousin in Hackensack. Don't save it too long. Don't save it too long. If you save it too long, it won't do you much good. Give some to the grocer, spread it where you can. Even give some to the four brush man. Don't save it too long. Don't save it too long. If you save it too long, it won't do you much good. Guns that are idle soon lose their power. Remember that sweet cream quickly turns sour. Don't save it too long. Don't save it too long. If you save it too long, it won't do you much good.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Gyrocop.